Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hello, and welcome to episode 633 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I am joined via Skype by Daniel DeVault, and we're going to discuss his direction of Sherlock Holmes' The Final Adventure out at Chaffin's Barn Theater. And we're going to get into that discussion just after you guessed it, you sleuthed it out, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the hosting donations accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Do you like what you hear? You got a thought about it? You want to express that thought? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @inexplicableds, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So, let's get on with the interview.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSers, I am joined via Skype by Daniel DeVault. And if you've been to the barn, you've been stage managed or lit by or acted with, but now you can be directed by Daniel DeVault at Chaffin's Barn. He's the director of Sherlock Holmes: The Final Adventure. So welcome, Daniel. How's it going?
Hi, John. It's going well.
So Sherlock has opened and you have what? This weekend and next as we record this?
Yes. So including tonight, we have six more performances.
And I saw it on Final Dress, so how's it going since I saw it, I guess? How's opening and how's the response been?
Good. It's cleaned up a bit since you saw it, actually, so I'm very pleased with that. Just tightened up some scene transitions and all that. But audience response has been very positive, so that is always a bit of a relief for a director.
Yes, I know. Trust me.
It's a bit different than one of our typical comedies that we have out at the barn, right? Because there's not uproarious laughter throughout the show. So you literally have to sit there and wait till the end of the play to get people to be like, "Oh wow, that was so good." I'm like, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah, it's because of the deadpan or right. It's an ironic laughter or not a knee slapping laughter. So you talked about tightening it up. Let's talk. Well, first off, give us the reader digest of the script, and then I want to talk to you because it's a very challenging script in a lot of ways, and I want to talk to you about that in a minute. But give us the reader's digest version.
It is a challenging script, but I love it. It's very fast paced. It's not that long. Each act clocks in under an hour, so that's nice. But it is essentially a combination of a couple different original Sherlock stories put together by our playwright, Stephen Dietz. So I think it's a scandal in Bohemia and the final problem mostly between those two together in this one. And so we meet, of course, we have Sherlock and Watson near the end of Sherlock's career, and the King of Bohemia shows up, a country that no longer exists, but it did at the time these stories are being written. He has a scandal, a problem. Irene Adler is blackmailing him, and he must get back a photograph. And so Sherlock, against Watson's advice, takes the case and ends up in a falls into a plot set by our evil Professor Moriarty. Irene Adler is, of course, there, as well as various side characters. Yes.
So, and what makes, it's a fun script, but what makes it, you know, like you said, challenging, at least for my, is that it unfolds almost, because Watson is the narrator, like he is in so much of the stories, whether it be the books or the or radio programs or whatever, but it seems to kind of unfold at the pace of a dream, almost.
It does, yes, that's well put. So we have Watson as our narrator through the story. So we start and end the show with him and get little snippets from him. Sometimes it's just a few sentences here and there. And other times he has longer monologues, but he'll guide us where we're going next. There's no scene breaks, but we have many locations. And Sherlock is often changing in and out of disguise right in front of us as he's acting in one scene. Which Charlie Wynn does very well. And then without any scene break or something, he walks to a different part of the stage and light shift, and we are in a different location, in a different place, at a different time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was very obvious while we were staging this play that, it was definitely written to be done in a proscenium.
Yes. yes.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think after the first read through, I said, my usual, like, all right, everyone, questions, concerns, sarcastic comments. The only question, everyone just kind of looked at me and said, how are we going to stage this play in the round? which, of course, is how we are at Chaffin's Barn.
Right.
And so I said, good question. And obviously, we'll be spending the next couple of days staging the show. But I sort of walked them through generally some of the bigger things that were going to be happening. And it sort of clicked with everyone what the show was kind of going to look like. Which was good. They all kind of, had a moment of, oh, wow, okay, I see what you're doing there. There's things like we create a waterfall on stage, which is very difficult to do in the round. lights and sound and a little imagination, anything is possible in the theater.
Right. And I like some of the special effects other than the waterfall as well. Some of the shadow work and that sort of thing. And I thought it was such a, but yeah, so the challenge, because of course, they're not just a simple scene change, right? It's from the Baker Street to this warehouse, so they can't look the same. So, it's like almost a clean, have to clear wipe of the playing space to get, the new scenery in there. So I thought that was the, as an audience member, I thought, oh my gosh, that would be driving me nuts. Let's go quicker. Let's go faster. Let's go, go.
Yeah. What's funny is the show moves so fast, I actually had to tell the actors to slow down a couple times because they naturally were pushing the pace because that's just what the script lends itself to.
Right.
But yes, those scene transitions that you're talking about took a little bit of work and planning, and the exact plan within that changed a couple of times. We're like, okay, so this is what we're actually going to have to do.
Right. So what has been, we kind of touched on, would you say then that would be your major challenge for directing this particular play is the use of the space and facilitating that? Would you say that was your bigger challenge, or was there something else?
That's a good question. I don't know. The scene changes themselves were challenging. However, I think my experience working in Chaffin's for years now As soon as I read the play, knowing that it was going, that I was staging it in that space. And so I immediately started seeing it as I was reading it. Mm. And so actually most of the staging came very naturally to me, and it was really great. You know, we move so fluidly. We use all four corners, entrance and exits, people coming in and out of the aisles. And I just knew, you know, we were having like people come in this way and out that way. And I think a couple times in rehearsal, I referred to it. I was like, all right, we got another Scooby-Doo moment. Everyone go out this way. You're going out this way. You're going out A, you're going out one, you're going out two, you're going out three. And then you're coming back in three and four and one. And so that came actually pretty naturally, and I really enjoyed doing it. But the transitions themselves, we had to fully change the set. That took a bit more of rehearsal and trial and error of what's going to work and what's not, because we don't get actual scene breaks. That Stephen Dietz did not write in scene one, scene two. He wrote Sherlock is talking to Watson in The King of Bohemia, and then Sherlock crosses the stage and is speaking with one of our villains.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, playwrights.
So yeah, we definitely use our stage, which is our elevator stage, our magic stage that goes up and down. We utilize that and our aisles a bit, as you saw when you were there, to transition out some things. And like I said, with little lights and sound, we can do a whole lot in that space. Yeah. There was a lot always required on stage. Like, you know, obviously Sherlock's study had to be. A certain amount of things had to be there. They interact with so many items in this play.
That little card catalog and everything. Oh, yeah.
Charlie has so many letters in his pockets preset at the top of the show. Oh, my goodness. It'd be like, you know, we definitely had pocket check, Charlie, who's our Sherlock.
Make sure you pulled out the right amount, the right.
Oh, we definitely
got
into rehearsal, like into tech, and he'd like be pulling out a letter, and he's like, "Well, that's not the right one. Like, hang on, other pocket." Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to know this yet.
That was a big challenge, actually. Props, and just the number of hand props, and most of them come from Sherlock. And the way we don't have scene transitions, and Charlie Whitten never gets to go backstage. He never leaves the space, and so we had to have all of these. This is one of the biggest challenges of the show. We had to have all of these things on stage, or figure out how to get them there seamlessly without him crossing backstage, because he almost never leaves the space. And that was that right there was one of our biggest challenges when we got into tech week and we brought all of our elements in. We got a lot of, wait, where is this coming from? And it's like, well, I mean, we had Miriam, my costume designer, at one point I was like, Miriam, we need to sew in some extra pockets for Charlie, because he has to have all these things on him already. He just produces things in the, you know, manner of Sherlock, just being kind of a, you know, know-it-all, just like, oh, I received this letter, and so now we're moving here.
So we've mentioned Charlie Whitten as Sherlock. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the rest of your cast?
We have Michael Rourke as Dr. Watson. He is wonderful. We have Shannon Hoppe playing Irene Adler. She is fabulous. We have Benjamin Jones playing Professor Moriarty. Deliciously evil. He's had a lot of compliments from audience members. Rounding out the cast, Josh Kiev, who plays the King of Bohemia. And we also have Gabe Atchley and Lauren Proctor and Scotty Phillips, all of whom appear in and out of the show quite a bit.
As the gang, so to speak.
As the gang, yes. They're largely our villainous characters. Scotty in particular plays multiple parts. I think I have Lauren playing a couple different parts as well. But yeah, they're popping in and out. Sometimes, you know, we have so fast paced. We sometimes have someone walking on for a few lines and walking off, then, you know, changing clothes and picking up new props to come back on a couple pages later as a different character. And they do that quite well.
So, prior to this, were you a Sherlock fan?
I have always enjoyed Sherlock. I cannot say that I was, prior to this, a Sherlock expert. We have so many people coming to the show that come talk to me and are like, I know all the stories. I love Sherlock. I, you know, I've read all this and I've seen everything. And I'm like, that's fabulous. I cannot actually say the same myself. But of course, once, it was addressed that I, you know, be doing Sherlock, I started reading up on that a little bit, which it was really great to bring Sherlock back to Chaffin's, because we used to do Sherlock's various incarnations of Sherlock at Chaffin's all the time, and murder mysteries constantly. And we sort of started moving in a different direction, and they were always on the backstage as well, where you have a smaller backstage that seats about 60 people. And so it was really great to get a fresh script from an award-winning playwright and bring it to the main stage and sort of bring Sherlock back to Chaffin's, which has been known for decades for doing murder mysteries. So that was really great. But yeah, definitely. I know we had a lot of people, our longtime Chaffin's Barn people, I think, are very appreciative of that fact.
Well, I have to confess, I'm a big, big Sherlock Holmes fan, and I have always been. And I'm one of those that have read all the short stories and stuff. And I love... And I, even in the writing, so like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle would change things to fit stories.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read, you'll a lot of times they'll refer to Watson's war wound in India, but depending on the story and its needs would be dependent on where the injury was. So like in one story, he was shot in the shoulder, and in another story, he was shot in the leg, and another story, he was, you know, it affected his arm or so, you know what I mean? Like whatever device needed to, change it around, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle would change it around. So with all these wonderful incantations of Sherlock Holmes, and, you know, you had the Benedict Cumberbatch and, Johnny Lee Miller and, you know, and the various radio programs and the plays and stuff. I'm okay with like the fluidity of the change of what happens in the world. You know, so I'm not like a strict Holmesian, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's wonderful, but a little sidebar. So I do this last week for the show, I did a Sherlock Holmes as a radio play, right? And I share the sidebar just to share that at one point I got contacted by some entity that tracks performances of Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like a 3,442nd person to play Sherlock Holmes. And they sent me a nice email because I did it on radio. And I went to the database and it has all these actors' names listed out who played Sherlock. And like, it'll have like a little key that says stage, or radio, television, film, you know what I mean? And you could see who played what, when, and what medium they played him in and that sort of thing. It was really cool. So I'm sure Charlie will show up on that chart sometime soon. If he's not there already, because he's done it several times.
He's earning his place. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really random. So anyway, of the performances, I know everybody's wonderful. Is there a particular moment, and I ask this of everybody that comes on to talk about the show, is there a moment that... you want to tell the audience, you would say, hey, friend, if you're telling your friend, come see the show, look for, this is really cool. Is there a moment that you say, look for, this is really cool?
That's right. There's a lot of good ones.
I know, it's like picking your favorite child or dog, but I'm going to ask you to do that.
That's all right. One of my favorite scenes, and it's not a long scene. It's in the aisle, but it's played. It's Holmes and Watson and Irene Adler. They've just escaped one of the villainous lairs, and they are on the move. And Sherlock is revealing to Watson how he did what he did. It's a humorous moment, beautifully played by our actors. Which then leads into a conversation about where they're going, and, Irene Adler insists on coming along, and there's a whole back and forth, little who's on first moment of, all right, Dr. Watson, book two seats. And Irene says, no, three, I'm coming with you. And, Charlie and Shannon have this lovely exchange with interjections by Michael as Dr. Watson. It's in an aisle. It's not a long scene, but I just love it.
I know that moment. Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments too. It seemed to, they all seem to really have a nice, genuine, fleshed out, you know, relaxed moment where they're not being chased or being put to death or being, you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of a calm moment, but so the true natures of the characters can sort of be revealed. So cool.
That moment came so naturally. I had to give so little direction in that moment. It was very nice. Every time we got to there, my notes were just like, that scene looks really good. And they were just like, yeah, it feels good.
Lovely. Moving on.
Yes.
Cool. So, again, you're playing through when and how can people get tickets and that sort of thing?
We are playing at Chaffin's Barn Theater through Sunday, September 15th. You can get tickets online, chaffinsbarntheater.com, or you can call in to the box office as well. The number I should know off the top of my head, but I do not. I think it's, 615-646-9977. Sherlock Holmes, The Final Adventure by Stephen Dietz, whom, by the way, I had the pleasure of meeting Stephen Dietz when he was in Nashville working with the then Tennessee rep, now Nashville rep, as a playwright.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was in the Ingram thing, wasn't he? He's
a just lovely human being. And so I think when I got this script, I think, you know, I love his everything he's written. I loved. And so when I finally got my hands on something he had written to actually finally direct, I was really happy. You know, just knowing, having had the chance to meet him and sit in on a master playwriting class with him. And you know, having that little insight into his mind, reading this, I was just like, yes, Stephen, this is, this is good.
we should send him an invite if you haven't already.
I probably should have. Come back to Nashville. It's been a few years.
Yeah, really. A lot's changed. A lot has changed.
A lot has changed.
Well, cool. So I will have links to that information, show ticket information, that sort of thing, on the website for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so that is it. I'd like to thank Daniel DeVault for stopping by today via Skype to chat about his direction of the Stephen Dietz play Sherlock the Final Adventure, which is currently running out at Chaffin's Barn Theater. Ticket information we discuss in the body of the podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter at InexplicableDS, at capital I, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, who knows what we'll be up to, but I'm sure it'll be something good. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.